Please turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And as we read this psalm, if the words sound familiar, well, we were just singing them. The Bible teaches us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is a classic example of one of the psalms being set to a musical arrangement. Almost word for word, what's written in the Bible. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. The book of Psalms consists of 150 psalms. They were written by a variety of people over a long period of time. David wrote about half of them. He did not write all of them, but he did write about half of them. As you examine the Psalms in a general way, you will see that the last five have something in common, beginning at Psalm 146 and going through 150. What is it that they have in common? They all begin and conclude with the exhortation, praise ye the Lord. That's how each of these psalms begins. That's how each one concludes. So as you study these particular psalms, you know right off the bat that great emphasis is being placed on offering praise unto the Lord. Well, Psalm 148 is included in this particular group of psalms. So we would expect that the writer is dealing with the matter of offering praise unto the Lord, and he certainly did. However, it's just a little bit more specific. Not only are God's people being exhorted to offer praise unto the Lord, but notice two statements. If we're not careful, we might just be tempted to overlook this, but it's very important. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord. And then verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord. So while in a general way this psalm is calling upon God's people to offer praise unto him, specifically we're being exhorted to offer praise to the name of the Lord. In my judgment, this is a matter that deserves careful attention today. I hear people use God's name in the most careless and flippant ways. And that's a shame. God's name is special. And rather than use his very special name in a careless way or maybe even a bad way, in a vain way. The Bible teaches us to give diligence to offer praise unto the name of our Lord. This particular psalm can be divided into two sections. Now, I have to admit, studying the Psalms can be just a little bit challenging because this is poetry. Keep in mind that it's Hebrew poetry that's been translated into English. Now, we have our own style today about writing poetry. We place a lot of emphasis on words rhyming. That's not necessarily the case with Hebrew poetry. But there are some very important matters dealt with in this psalm that we need to be mindful of. We need to meditate upon these things on a regular basis. But as you analyze this psalm, you know automatically that God's people are being exhorted to praise the Lord, but more specifically, God's people are called upon to offer praise to the name of the Lord. Let's look at the two main sections that this psalm can be divided into. In verses 1 through 6, we find that the Lord's name is to be praised from the heavens. And then the second section begins at verse 7 and goes through the end, verse 14. Those verses teach us that the Lord's name is to be praised from the earth. I think it's interesting that in that song we were just singing, those two points are emphasized. The name of the Lord is to be praised from the heavens, and the Lord's name is to be praised from the earth. Well, the opening exhortation is, "Praise ye the Lord." After that exhortation is given, the writer made an appeal in the latter part of verse 1 down through verse 6, for the Lord's name to be praised from the heavens and in the heights. I want you to notice in verses 2, 3, and 4 that several beings and several objects that are located in the heavens are referred to. In verse 2, the writer called upon all his angels and all his hosts to praise the Lord's name. You know, the Bible mentions several times about the angelic host offering praise unto the Lord. You know, those shepherds who were present when the Lord was born were able to experience something very special. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 and read a couple of verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, that would have been a very special blessing to be present to hear that praise being offered unto the Lord. I've often wondered how that sounded. Sometimes I think I would love to have been present to hear those wonderful angels offering praise when Jesus was born. I have to admit to you, there have been a few times over the years when I've been present at worship services, when I thought there was some beautiful singing taking place. And frankly, you haven't lived until you've worshiped in West Tennessee in an old wood frame building and hear people sing their hearts out. That's a very special experience. But I've never heard anything that could be compared to the praise being offered by these angels when our Lord was born. Wouldn't it have been something to be present? Well, we can't go back in time, but let's notice another occasion at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 5 and read about an experience that John had. Revelation chapter 5. We can't go back in time, But we can look forward to hearing the angelic host praise the Lord in the future. Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. John was blessed to hear that praise being offered unto the Lord. Well, he gives us something to look forward to. Well, we can't go back in time when the angels were praising the Lord when Jesus was born, but we can certainly look forward to hearing the angels praise the Lord in heaven. So, in Psalm 148, the writer called upon all of God's angels and all of his host to praise the Lord's name. But he went further than that. In verse 3 of Psalm 148, the writer called upon the sun, the moon, and the stars to praise the Lord's name. Now, do these objects that we're familiar with actually speak in a language that we can hear with the ear? No, they don't. But they do have something to say to us. David talked about that in Psalm 19. This is one of my favorite psalms. Let's look at the first six verses of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In that part of this psalm, David was providing evidence for us to know that there is a God in heaven. How do we know that? Because the objects that God has created declare his glory. They have something to say to us. Oh, do they speak with a language that we can hear with the ear? No. But notice David said they speak words. And the words that they speak can be heard in any language. They don't speak in English or German or French. What they have to say can be understood in any language. Now that's interesting, isn't it? What do these objects that God created do? Well, they're offering praise unto the name of the Lord. And the writer of Psalm 148 called upon the sun, the moon, and the stars to praise the Lord's name. I don't know about you, but on a clear morning when the sun comes up, that's a rather enjoyable experience. We can't really enjoy it from our part of the state, but if you travel to the west coast of Florida, you could see the sun set. And that's a wonderful experience. To see the stars out on a clear night. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very enjoyable. And let's not overlook the full moon when it comes out in all of its glory. These objects have something to say. They say, God created us. Well, the writer of Psalm 148 called upon the sun, the moon, and the stars to praise the Lord's name. And in verse 4, the writer called upon the heavens of heavens and the waters that be above the heavens to praise the Lord's name. Now in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 148, the writer went on to explain why these things we just mentioned are to offer praise unto the Lord. In verse 5, he mentions the fact that the Lord gave his commands, and all of these things were created. God spoke, and these objects came into being. You know, the writer of Hebrews explains, looking back in time, how we can know things that we weren't able to see. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 3. This verse says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that settles it. We accept that through faith. And when the Bible goes on in chapter 1 to explain how God created everything in 6 days, we accept that because that's what God has revealed to us in his holy word. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Through faith, we're able to understand things that we weren't able to see. Were you present at the beginning? No, and I wasn't either. However, we can rest assured that these things occurred just as the Bible says that they did. I sometimes become amused when people try to explain away what the Bible says. Well, we either accept it or we don't. I mean, it's just plain and simple. We either accept it or we don't. Well, we need to listen to the evidence, and the evidence shows that God created everything. Well, that's one reason why all of these things that we mentioned are to offer praise to the Lord's name, because God created them. He gave his commands, and all of these things came into existence. Now, we won't take the time to do it, but you could read the details in Genesis chapter 1, how God created everything. Well, I want you to notice in verse 6 of Psalm 148, and this is touched on in the song that we were singing a while ago, God established all of these things forever and ever, and his decree will not pass. Now let's be sure that we understand that statement in relation to some other statements that the Bible makes. When the writer of Psalm 148 says that God established all of these things that we just mentioned to last forever and ever, and his decree will not pass, does that mean that these things will not come to an end? Well, there are a few other verses we need to keep in mind. Look at Genesis 8, and let's read verse 22. The great flood had occurred, and it had come to an end. And God informed Noah about something very important. If we're not careful, we might just overlook something. While the earth remaineth, this is Genesis 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now God said to Noah, while the earth remains. Now there's something implied in that. It means that the earth is not going to remain forever. And we have a very direct statement found in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. In this particular chapter, Peter wrote in detail about the day of the Lord, that is, the time of his return. Notice what he says. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. the earth is not going to last forever. When the Lord comes back, everything will be destroyed. Now, does that mean that the writer of Psalm 148 didn't know what he was talking about? No, you just have to look at his statement in its proper context. He showed that God established all of these things that we referred to forever and ever, and his decree will not pass. In other words, these things are going to last as long as God intends. But when the Lord comes back, everything will be destroyed. So when the writer of Psalm 148 tells us that God established these things that we've been talking about forever and ever, and his decree will not pass, doesn't mean that everything is going to last forever. When the Lord comes back, everything will be burned up. But until that time, all of these great objects that are mentioned have a responsibility, and that is to offer praise unto the mighty name of our mighty God. Well, let's look at the second section of Psalm 148. In verses 7 through 14, the writer made another appeal for God's name to be praised. And in these verses, he made an appeal for the Lord's name to be praised from the earth. First, he showed that the Lord's name is to be praised from the heavens. And then he referred to the objects up in the heavens. Now he's showing that the Lord's name is to be praised from the earth. In verses 7 through 12, I want you to notice that some beings and some objects on the earth are mentioned. In the latter part of verse 7, the writer called upon creatures from the deep to praise the Lord's name. This is referring to sea creatures. In verse 8, the writer called upon the weather to praise the Lord's name. In verse 9, the first part of it, the writer called upon the mountains and the hills to praise the Lord's name. Whenever I read that exhortation, I cannot help but think about being in the mountains in East Tennessee in the fall of the year and enjoying the beautiful colors. I can't help but think that these things are offering praise to the name of the Lord. In the latter part of verse 9, the writer called upon the fruitful trees and the cedars to praise the Lord's name. In verse 10, the writer called upon the beast and the cattle to praise the Lord's name. In the latter part of verse 10, the writer called upon creeping things and birds to praise the Lord's name. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. In our neighborhood, we have several little red birds. For a long time, we didn't have any, but they gradually found their way into our neighborhood. And quite often during the day, there'll be a little red bird up in the top of a tree. I think they like to get up high so that they can be heard. Sometimes I can spot one. I usually watch for a little bit of movement, then I can pick him out. And they'll just sing their little hearts out. Well, that's an enjoyable experience, but I can't help but think in his own way, he's offering praise to the name of the Lord. In verses 11 and 12, the writer called upon all people to offer praise to the Lord's name. Now notice who was included: kings, princes, judges, young men, maidens, old men, and children. Now, years ago, I appreciated the fact that young men are specifically mentioned. Now, I've gotten to the point where I appreciate the fact that old men are mentioned. Notice that everyone's included. This is a far-reaching responsibility to offer praise to the Lord's name. And you know, if everyone included in this group would do that, this old world would be a much better place to live. You see, God also created all of these beings and all of these objects. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke and all of these things came into existence. That's one reason why everything is to offer praise to the name of the Lord, because God created everything. Well, let's look at verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 148. And in these verses, the writer, I wish I knew who it was, but I don't. So I'm just going to have to refer to him as the writer. The writer explained why the Lord's name deserves to be praised by all of these things that we've mentioned. Notice what verse 13 says. Verse 13 says that the Lord's name is excellent. I'm reminded of what's written in Psalm 111 in verse 9. The writer says, "Holy and reverend is his name." God's name is special, and it is to be treated in a special way. Notice also that verse 13 says that God's glory is above the earth and the heaven. That's another reason why his name deserves to be praised. First, the Lord's name is excellent, and his glory is above the earth and heaven. And notice one final point that's made in verse 14. This is another reason why the Lord's name deserves to be praised by his people. The writer indicates that the Lord abundantly blesses his people. Let's read verse 14 again. "He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." That's another way of saying that the Lord abundantly blesses his people. That's one reason why he deserves for his name to be praised. Now, having said that, let's consider what's written in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." God abundantly blesses his people. That principle applied to the children of Israel under the old covenant. That same principle applies to God's people living under the new covenant today. That's one reason why his name deserves to be praised. He abundantly blesses his people. I wish I could remember the astronaut's name, but I can't. I could look it up and find it out. But I remember many years ago, when several astronauts were in space, a picture was made of the Earth. I've always loved that picture because it shows just how round it is. You can even see where the various countries are located. But that astronaut read from the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." I absolutely love and appreciate the fact that that man had the love for God that he would read that passage. Well, the objects up in the heavens have something to say to us. And we need to follow the advice given by the psalmist. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just need to slow down and pay attention to the objects that God has created, because they all have something to say to us. And I believe that they will help to motivate us to do what Psalm 148 is teaching us to do, that is to offer praise to the name of the Lord. You know, just recently it seems that that's a matter that's receiving quite a bit of attention. Offering praise to the name of the Lord. God's people have been exhorted to do that for a long, long time. Perhaps we've gotten away from that. If that's the case, then the answer is repentance. Well, I believe we need to pay close attention to these matters addressed in Psalm 148. Let's always love, honor, and respect the Lord's great name. And I believe it will help us to adopt the commitment that was expressed by David in Psalm 145. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Now, David did write this particular psalm, and notice how he began. I believe it would help us to adopt this particular commitment. "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." That's exactly what we've been talking about. But notice how committed David was to offering praise to the name of the Lord. We would do well to follow his example. Many things are said and done today which would try to influence our faith in a negative way. Well, we just need to follow what the scriptures teach, and we'll be in good standing with the Lord.